And now, the world's most exciting podcast, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. Here he is, Michael Savage.
Gay, like anti-racist scholar Ibram X. Kendi and Reverend Al Sharpton, said that racism played a role in her ousting. Quote, it is not lost on me that I make an ideal canvas for projecting every anxiety about the generational and demographic changes unfolding on American campuses. A black woman selected to lead a storied institution.
Today, we're going to talk about a topic affecting everyone in the United States, the diversity con, the DEI industry. It began as affirmative action. It's now turned into naked communism against white males, particularly white heterosexual males. But it doesn't stop there. The white women laughed when it was attacking only white men. But now, according to the Johns Hopkins, once a great university hospital, by the way, they have a diversity officer. The chief, whatever the hell her name is, Sharita Golden. I wonder how she got into medical school. No doubt through affirmative action or DEI. So they made her the DEI officer, and she published a diversity hit list where she says the following people are all privileged. Are you ready? Are you ready for the list? Here we go. All males, all whites, all Christians, all able-bodied people, all English speakers, all people who own property. Let's see who else is privileged. Here we go. Privilege is characteristically invisible to people who have it. White people, able-bodied people, heterosexuals, cisgender people, males, Christians, middle or owning class people, middle-aged people, and English-speaking people all fit the bill of privileged people, according to Dr. Golden. Dr. Golden should be sent to San Quentin for 20 years for the damage she has done to people's lives. So they fired her from the DEI office, and she kept her several hundred thousand dollar a year job. Can you believe it? All those people are considered privileged? That's beyond belief. It's beyond belief. So we're going to speak today about the diversity con, the secrets and lies behind the shady DEI industry with Kent Heckenlively. He's an attorney and science teacher, highly respected New York Times bestselling author. He has written books with Project Veritas whistleblowers, Alex Jones, and several of his own, covering corruption in science and medicine, big tech, and mainstream media. His latest book with David Johnson is The Diversity Con, The Secrets and Lies Behind the Shady DEI Industry. Kent Heckenlively joins us momentarily right here on the Michael Savage Podcast.
Savage. Michael Savage, a host like no other.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hi, I'm Major Rachel Jones. And what Pride means to me is celebrating that diversity is our strength as a nation and as an army. Pride means something very special to me as a LGBTQ individual, and it's a chance to show everyone what we have to offer in terms of the diverse skill sets that we bring and the diverse ways of thinking we bring into the team to make everything work better.
Author Kent Heckenlively, correct?
Correct.
Is with us to discuss a topic that affects everyone listening to this program. The diversity con, the secrets and lies behind the shady DEI industry. I began this podcast by talking about a truly psychopathic individual, the DEI person at Johns Hopkins Hospital, who published a diversity hit list which claimed the following. She defined privilege as characteristically invisible to people who have it, said the psychopath. And listen to who's privileged. All white people, all able-bodied people, all heterosexuals, all cisgender people, all males, all Christians, middle or owning class people. That's a new one. Middle or owning class people, middle-aged people and English-speaking people all fit the bill, according to Dr. Sharita Golden. I can't imagine where she got her MD degree from and how she got it. We read she got it from the University of Virginia, but I would wager my house that she was admitted to the University of Virginia based on DEI. And here we are. Doctor, some doctor, would you let her operate on you? So we have with us an expert in this, Kent Heckenlively. What's the history? Isn't it? Didn't this start with affirmative action under Nixon?
Yeah. And, you know, I'm 60 years old now. And so I remember being in college and a lot of these ideas were percolating, but it didn't really seem to have risen to the level that it is now. But I think that any white male who has worked in the corporate world understands that for decades, there has been this policy of disfavoring white, primarily male people in moving up the ladder. And I think what's happened is it's now moved into the universities and we're seeing this terrible thing. And, you know, what I really am interested in is sort of the architecture of the propaganda machine. How is this happening and why is it so dangerous? One of the reasons I think it's so dangerous is that people have a tendency, left to their own devices, to really like each other. And so men will love women, women will love men. And I think that people of different faiths and races, if they have the opportunity to interact with each other, will tend to find that there's a lot of similarities between them. Now, one of the things when we did the deep dive into the history of racism and keeping people together is what the segregationists did was not just have laws against people getting married, but crazy things like a white man could not play checkers with a black man. Now, why is that such a threat to the power structure? It's a threat to the power structure because if a white guy and a black guy play checkers, they're going to have conversations. They're going to find out they're more similar than they are different. And these people who are oppressing the public are going to face the wrath of a unified public. And I think that what's happening with DEI is this is yet another way they're trying to separate us from each other, make us hate each other and not see the real bad guys in our society.
Well, this is not news to me in a way. I wrote the Death of the White Male, a little pamphlet in 1977, and I'm not here to promote it. It's not even available anywhere because I saw what was going on. I had just earned my PhD from the University of California at Berkeley, and it was a first class research PhD. I had two young children to support. And my lifelong dream was to teach in university, was put on hold by the ACLU and their evil socialist scheme for racial gerrymandering called affirmative action. To me, it was affirmative racism. I'm the son of immigrants. I was told to just go away. And others less qualified would be given what I had worked so hard to achieve. Well, guess what? It's now turned into a national cancer. You've given us the background of the thinking behind it. The real question to me is, now that we are seeing a lot of these officers, like this individual at Johns Hopkins, recently at Columbia, they found that one of them was a plagiarist, a DEI person. Do you think the tide has turned, Kent? Do you think the tide has turned finally?
I think that this is such a fun time in our society because what really needs to happen is to have transparency. Get these people out and get them talking. because what you see is that there's an abandonment of the pursuit of excellence. And what we have in our society, one of the greatest things that we have in our culture is that we pursue excellence and we expect excellence. We watch a basketball team, you see excellent playing, watch a football game, watch a baseball game, great literature, great movies. We want to see the very best. And the thing that's exciting for me is to see how quickly these people can fall. Now, remember,
which people can fall?
These phony leaders.
You mean the DEI fakers?
I mean, it was just so glorious to watch those three university presidents get up and not be able to, condemn the massacre in Israel. And I just thought, oh, this is just wonderful, because they're just showing themselves to be complete idiots. Because I think there's the propaganda, there's the brainwashing. But then when these people are so stupid, I mean, it's like the stupid California politicians. Okay, we have a one-party state in California.
Amen.
And so what do we get? We get morons like Kamala Harris and Gavin Newsom who get to the top and then they think they can go national.
I want to pause you. I don't think Gavin is a moron, incidentally. I think Gavin's a very intelligent man who's a very smart politician. I disagree with most of his policies. But truthfully, people underestimate his level of intelligence, Kent. That's a topic for another time.
People
should not underestimate Gavin Newsom's intelligence. He knows how to play the system very well. But I wonder how many people in the state of California are really still buying the, quote, progressive line. There was just some ballot measures here in San Francisco, which are all moderate. They would have been considered right wing. They all passed.
Yeah.
Now they're putting National Guards troops on the streets of San Francisco because it's so on the subways rather in New York.
Yeah.
We have now controls over the homeless, violent bums that have taken over the city. I think the tide has turned, but the corporations are not turning with the people, Kent, are they?
Not quite yet, but look what happened with Doritos recently.
Oh, tell us about Doritos Spain.
Yeah, Doritos Spain, decided they'd get some transgender influencer only to find out that this person had said some really inappropriate things about child sexuality. And, within a couple days of this making the news, Doritos says, oh no, we're not going to have that person. So, these people only have so much money to waste.
Wait, Doritos is owned by Pepsi, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
And Pepsi's one of the most ridiculously woke corporations in the world. And so they hire a transgender, they do a Bud Light on their Doritos brand, and they get such pushback, they dump the trans, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so, there's this book that I read a while ago called The Forest People, which was pygmies in Africa. And it was fascinating because the anthropologist who went there was asking them how they determined what the truth was. And they said, well, we let the forest decide. And I feel like the same thing is happening in our society, which is we got these crazy people doing these sorts of things. And then we see what the public does. And they lose so damn much money. I mean, look at Mark Zuckerberg. I wrote a book about Facebook from the perspective of Project Veritas whistleblower who'd been a content moderator. And, he makes this stupid bet on VR and loses billions and billions of dollars on it. And
what's VR? What's VR?
Virtual reality.
Oh, okay.
So I find these individuals doing such incredibly stupid things. And I just kind of say, Let the forest decide. Let the people decide.
Savage. The Savage Nation. It's Savage on Demand.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Is a framework for understanding the world that helps us understand that this entire country is racist, right? We have a white supremacist caste, racial caste system in the United States. Humans have then used math and numbers and statistics in all sorts of ways, from counting black and brown bodies as they made them property and brought them over to these lands, to much more recently, scholars who said that white people were more intelligent than people of color. That's called scientific racism, the use of statistics and tools to construct the idea. It's like something deep in our brains. It's hard to recognize.
Not to science or math.
Well, but the people don't have any power at the end of the day. As consumers, we do, but not as people wanting to get a job in a university. White males need not apply to this day. I mean,
not yet.
Not yet. I know a young man with a master's degree from a first-rate university who's a genius. A young man, 22 years old, a real master's from a great university. They won't hire him in mathematics because he's tall, blonde, white, and apparently by looks, not trans or kind of a regular white guy. You know, I like to use reducto ad absurdum as a methodology to get where we're going. And I predict that if this is not stopped one day, we're going to see blind pilots with seeing eye dogs flying our flying our jets. And if we get on the plane and we see someone in there with dark glasses with a dog and we say, wait a minute, how can a blind person fly? They'll throw us off the plane.
I think we are in the absurd portion of societal development. And so I think that this is why it's important that we have fun with this, because I think humorous response to it. You know, when I was in college, I wrote, like you, I'm a Bay Area guy. Okay. So, you know, I grew up in the Bay Area. I'm a native Californian. I love my crazy California ideals. I don't like where it's gone, but I loved growing up here.
Oh, I love the Bay Area. See, I won't leave. I don't care about all the bad stuff. I still love it here.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but you know, what I wrote about, in my college political column was attempt to go against the Soviet Union because it wasn't reflective of the human spirit. And I remember how Reagan pushed and prodded and joked and did this and did that. And the other side eventually fell. And I feel like we're in that like 1986 to 1990 period. So what we need to do is we need to just keep being aggressive. And you know, what Reagan did was not just, you know, hate the Soviets, but say, hey, come on, talk to me. Let's talk. You know, you talk for an hour. I'll talk for an hour. We'll see where it goes. And one of the strangest things that happened after the fall of the Soviet Union was to learn that these Soviet officials had said, you know, when Reagan started attacking us as the evil empire, we really felt bad because we said, how could we be evil? And so I think there's that same sort of thing going on in the minds of a lot of these people who have been brainwashed. And so what we need to do is we need to figure out how to engage with them, not turn them off, let them know, hey, here's what we really think. But, you know, keep those lines of communication open. So not
I don't
break-
know. Kent, you know, you're born in the Bay Area. You're a nice guy. I was born in New York. I'm not really a nice guy. I mean, I'm nice inside, but I don't think that they respond to nice. I think they respond only to their own bare knuckle policies. And I believe this toxic DEI, this toxic affirmative action, this toxic hatred of white males has now spread. I mean, when I read the hit list includes white people, able-bodied people, heterosexuals, cisgender people, males, Christians, middle or owning class people, middle-aged people, English-speaking people, we're all now targets. This is a metastasis. It's a cancer that is almost incurable.
Well, you know, I point to my CNN book. Okay, so that was a Project Veritas book.
I love Project. By the way, I love Project Veritas. I've had him on several times, the former director of Project Veritas.
Yeah. So my co-author with the CNN book, Kerry Porch, he was a Bernie Sanders supporter in 2016.
Oh, my God.
And he went to work at CNN, and his first job running a satellite truck was to go to Charlottesville.
Uh-huh.
And he said, wait a minute. I heard that Trump did not say anything about this being, you know, Nazis are fine people. No. And so that changed him. Something similar with my Google Leaks book, Zach Voorhees. Zach Voorhees started out as a Occupy Wall Street guy, but he just kept listening to things. So I think there's a lot of people out there that we shouldn't necessarily, you know, throw
it,
away.
It's only when it bites them. It's only when it bites them in their own behind that they suddenly wake up when they are targeted.
But it's going to bite a lot of them.
Look, Ken, look at the list. It includes virtually everyone but them.
Yeah. And so one of the things that I've had the experience of, since I'm kind of the specialist writer in whistleblower stories, is I keep hearing story and story again of these people who are oblivious. And then something happens, something bites them in the ass, like you say, and suddenly they wake up. And when, you know, there was this great book about the World War II in Russia. I think it was City of Thieves by the guy who eventually ended up doing Game of Thrones. And there was this one observation that the Nazis wanted to kill everybody. And because they wanted to do that, there was no way that they could win, because successful occupiers in history wanted to, you know, get that population on their side so that they would try to do things. These people have, you know, it's the kill everybody, destroy everybody.
You mean the DEI people of today want to destroy everyone?
Exactly. That's their fatal flaw. You need to get people on your side. You and me, we talk about accomplishment. I mean, you know, here I've published 15 books. I have nobody in my family who's ever published a book, okay? That's because I worked hard. I figured out. I made connections on things. And so I've achieved something. And what we need to tell people is that no matter where you come from, there are opportunities that you have to better yourself. And so what these people have is they have only the victim, you know, the victim and the persecutor mentality.
The oppressor and the oppressed. That's this two categories, oppressor and oppressed.
Savage. The Savage Nation. It's savage, uncut, unfiltered, and raw.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Libsyn Ads. Go to libsynads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Validate has a team of all people of color. We have no white people on our team. I did that because I wanted to create a safe environment. And I know the best way for an environment to be safe is to be around people who are just like me. And I'm not saying that white people in the industry are creating unsafe environments. I'm not saying that. That is not what I'm saying. I am saying that sometimes it is hard to work with white people because they think that something may be okay, but it was really a microaggression. And no one wants to deal with that while they're trying to make a game that they love.
So I get it. I understand where this is coming from. As I said, affirmative action tried to eliminate me as a human being. I was raised to struggle and fight, so I never gave up. But there are people who did break from it, and they are breaking from it, Kent. People who get real degrees that can't get hired because they're white and male. You're doing a great job, but the corporations, the organizations are infested with these unqualified minority Nazis who are targeting everyone except those who look like themselves. I don't see it ending that soon. So tell me about the group you point to as being behind much of this destructive ideology, the Tides Foundation of San Francisco. Who are they?
Yeah, so Tides Foundation was founded in the late 1970s by a Democratic activist. And what's fascinating about them is how many groups they support. Now, what we did a deep dive on in this book was looking at Black Lives Matter.
Ugh.
Okay, so Black Lives Matter was essentially administered by one of these Tides Foundation's groups. And then as they started becoming more popular, the Tides Foundation actually took them over. And so what I was interested in was these nonprofits, which are supposed to be non-political in what they're doing. And so using publicly available information, what I did was I looked at the Tides Foundation to see how much they were spending. How much did they spend in 2020? They spent over $600 million given out to organizations. Now, how does a nonprofit, you know, be able to give out $600 million?
Well, funded the Tides Foundation? Who was the original founder and funder of Tides?
You know, I have his name in the book.
This was a big issue in the 70s and 90s, rather, the Tides Foundation.
Yeah.
It was funded by some very famous billionaires. I'm going to actually look it up. I remember it.
I'll look it up in my own book and see what I can find.
I put in Tides Foundation, and I'm getting Fernando Beach, Florida, about the tide charts. You can't even find the Tides Foundation in here. I get tide predictions. Tides Foundation.
Yeah, yeah. The way I compare the Tides Foundation.
Left-leaning donor advised fund based in the United States, founded in San Francisco in 1976 by Drummond Pike. Who was Drummond Pike?
Yeah.
I never heard of him.
Well, what's interesting is to
wait, look it says at, they're a partner for justice, a justice and social justice. Uh-huh. We know what that means.
Of course. Those are the lies.
Drummond Pike distributes money from anonymous donors to other organizations, which are often politically progressive, blah, 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 receives substantial funding from, get ready, Georgie Soros.
Oh yeah. So we have two pages of all the people who donate money to them. And the list is amazing because you've got people like, Action Justice Fund, the Bauman Family, the Ford Foundation, George Soros and all of his various children. You got the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Yeah.
The Google Foundation, Rockefellers, everybody. And what's really kind of brilliant and evil about the Tides Foundation is they have a whole bunch of funds that you can put money into. So let's say you're a rich guy and you say, hey, I'm going to park $10 million in a bunch of funds at the Tides Foundation. So you park it there for a year or two, you get a good rate of return, and then you call up the Tides Foundation and say, hey, you know, you made me $2 or $3 million. Why don't you throw $3 million to Black Lives Matter for me, okay? Well, that money doesn't come from you, the billionaire. It comes from the Tides Foundation. So the Tides Foundation is able to hide that directed
money. So it's a laundry. It's a laundry for far left activists who want to hide their association with radical organizations like Black Lives Matter, anti-Israel protests, anti-capitalism, anti-male, anti-white, anti-Christian, anti-church organizations.
It's a left-wing propaganda chaos machine.
Revenue, $863 million. Revenue.
Revenue, wow. For God's sakes.
Revenue.
We're in the wrong business. We're in the wrong business, Michael.
Revenue. Oh, distributes money from, as you just said, from anonymous donors. Ah. One day I would like to see someone do an analysis of how a Jew like, and I'm Jewish, like George Soros, who flees the Nazis, can become such a Nazi himself. Because what he is proposing and what he supports is fundamentally National Socialism. When people say Nazi, they don't know what it means. He is fundamentally a National Socialist. He wants big government to control everything, I would think. Net worth of $7 billion. He gave a lot of this money to these groups, including Tides. His son is crazier than him by all definition. And how does a person not understand the damage they are doing? Have you given that any thought in your readings? I mean, you're into this very heavily.
Yeah, you know, I think that human beings can delude themselves very easily. One of the things that I have also written a lot about is about the intelligence community. I mean, the CNN book was very interesting because what I uncovered was this really strange pattern among a lot of on-air personalities and top executives at CNN, that they would leave CNN for a year or two and they'd go to work for the State Department and then they'd go back. So I kind of have this suspicion, this is my personal view, is that a lot of this is being run by the intelligence communities, that they are, you know, trying to figure out how to manipulate us, how not to get us to ask questions. And I think that the role of the intelligence agencies is kind of like the big black hole that nobody seems to be interested in, but it's deforming the light of our democracy.
Kent Heckenlively has a new book, The Diversity Con, The Secrets and Lies Behind the Shady DEI Industry, but we've gone way beyond that. Now, you've worked closely with Alex Jones, right?
Yeah.
Okay, great guy. And you've worked with Project Veritas whistleblower David Johnson. Did he work with you on this book?
Yeah. So David was just fantastic. And, you know, another example of somebody who considered himself on the left. And, you know, David is African-American. He's gay. He's young. And he goes to work as a contract employee for Hasbro. He's a packaging engineer. And in the first week he's there, he's forced to sit through this diversity training. And they tell him that babies as young as 6 months old are expressing racial preferences. And he gets this, you know, commandment that what they're supposed to do is, as packaging engineers for toys, for God's sakes, they should slip subliminal messages into the toys past the parents. And he has a sense of mind to press record and, you know, He hands us over to Project Veritas, and within a month, you know, it's got millions of views. And, you know, here's this guy who says, look, I'm black, gay, and young. This is supposed, you know, and the America they describe is not the one I grew up in. For what they say, I should have been prejudiced against, you know, discriminated against for all these sorts of things. He said, the only thing people have cared about in my life is my competence. You know, there's no difference between a well-packaged product, whether it's made by a straight person, a black person, or a gay person. It's just how well are you able to package it? How well do you keep from breakage? How much is that experience of opening the product something that the consumer enjoys? And so we are winning converts in ways that are shocking to us. I mean, you know, there's a really interesting thing about the attack on Trump, you know, 91 charges against him. And the thing that they're not expecting is, or didn't plan on, is that it seems like black males are now siding with Trump because they're saying like, well, wait a minute, this is unfair.
I did an analysis myself, and the reason that they're siding with Trump and Hispanics is because they have been, in their minds, victims of this society, and they're identifying with him as a victim. He is clearly being targeted. He's not as guilty as they say about all these things, probably not guilty at all. And so they're saying, I know what victims are like. I've been a victim all my life. I like him. So they're identifying with the underdog. America always loved an underdog, and the stupid left has made a blunder by turning Trump into an underdog.
And so I think that we need to just keep confidently putting out what we say, writing our books, doing our broadcasts, and, you know, being friendly and approachable and saying, hey, we'll go talk to anybody.
Savage. Home of borders, language, culture. The Savage Nation.
A savage republic inside the plot to destroy America lays out the threats we face, prepare you for what's next, and offer solutions to save our republic. Please wake up and fight back before it is too late. You can buy it right now on Amazon or on BarnesandNoble.com. A Savage Republic Inside the Plot to Destroy America by Michael Savage. Thank you for listening. Share it with five others.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
Well, You're taking that approach. I despise these people. To me, they are the epitome of evil in the world. No matter how they may smile, they're out to destroy people like me who, as an immigrant son, worked very hard and was told to drop dead. And as a result, the universities now have some of the most incompetent people in the world in virtually every department. And I don't know how long this country can go down this road. I mean, I do know from having written one of my books, was called Mass Hysteria, and I wrote in it that all movements have a cycle. And as you are saying, eventually these things burn themselves out. This is a mass hysteria called DEI that will eventually, like most epidemics, burn itself out. Mm-hmm. It destroys itself eventually. Yeah. But I don't know if the society has the time to wait. I recommend your book.
Here's what I say, Michael, which is, you are absolutely 100% right that males, particularly white males, are being driven out of corporate America. So what do white males do when they get thrown out of the system? They build a new system. It's just how we're wired. And so what's going to happen is that all these people who are getting kicked out of corporate America are going to build the new corporate America. And it's going to kick the ass out of this incompetent DEI-infused corporate world.
I could see you're fundamentally an optimist. I mean, you're a real Californian, Kent. I have to admire that. I love your optimism. Where did you grow up in the Bay Area? Where did you go to high school, by the way? I'm very curious.
So I grew up in Alamo. I went to De La Salle High School, the Christian Brothers School, went to St. Mary's College, and then I went to law school in San Francisco.
So you're still a very good Christian. You're still turning the other cheek to the enemy.
What's really interesting is, for example, one of the recent podcasts of Jordan Peterson was looking at the expression, the meek shall inherit the earth. And he never liked that because it didn't make sense to him. And then he went back to the original and it meant something very different in the original. What it meant is blessed are those who choose not to draw their sword, meaning that these are really capable, dangerous people. So I know.
I know that. I wrote a book in 1983 called Feeding Children Naturally. And I said that the mark of the great swordsman is not to draw his sword. That's a well-known, yeah. That came in. I wonder if he read the introduction to my book, because that's where it was written. That was the mark of the greatest martial artist, is he who doesn't have to fight.
Yeah. And so, I mean, here I made the choice to work with Alex Jones. Okay. Right. So I am choosing to take on the most controversial thing. So, you know, my book with Ben Garris, I did a book about masks that got banned from Amazon. Okay. And that was published in August of 2020, saying don't wear masks. They're stupid.
The virus is so small, it goes through the pores of the mask.
And also there's this thing that we exhale called carbon dioxide. And if you have a mask over your face, it will tend to come back into your mouth. So I understand all these idiots talking about like, well, you're going to keep some air from going out. Yes, but you're rebreathing carbon dioxide. Do you understand? Within 2.5 breaths, you are at a dangerous level of carbon dioxide.
And so, how about the people in the Bay Area driving around in their own car alone with a mask on?
Yeah. You know, and it's crazy. And you know, I wrote a book about the CDC whistleblower, Dr. William Thompson. And that book got me banned from an entire continent of Australia. They actually wrote me back and said that if I came to Australia, I would be a threat to the political system. So yeah, I'm an optimist guy and everything.
Kent, I'm banned in Britain. I can't enter Britain. I've been banned in Britain.
I know, but you know, Britain's not a continent, Michael. I got one over on you. I'm banned from an entire continent.
Good for you. Okay. If that makes you happy, good for you. Amazing. The Diversity Con, The Secrets and Lies Behind the Shady DEI Industry. Who's running Project Veritas these days? The guy who created it is a great guy. I've had him on my show several times, but you don't want to talk about it probably, but wasn't he recently removed from Project Veritas?
Oh yeah. I'll totally talk about it. So basically 2 weeks after they did a huge expose on Pfizer, you know, suddenly all the board had these problems with them. And, you know, I don't know exactly how he was as a boss. You know, I listened to his 45-minute talk afterwards and, you know, maybe he could have done some things different, but, you know, no reason to kick him out.
He created
because they figured that Project Veritas was bigger than James O'Keefe. So Project Veritas is now no more. What you have is the O'Keefe Media Group, and he is just kicking ass and doing stories. So
I've had him on the podcast. I think he's a great investigative journalist.
Yeah, and what I was really proud of is the fact that I've done 4 books with Project Veritas whistleblowers. So when that situation blew up, all of the whistleblowers got together to do a video support of James O'Keefe, and they asked me to join it. So I am the only non-Project Veritas whistleblower who they, you know, brought into the club to say, hey, we stand with James O'Keefe.
Good for you. Good for you. So you're a true blue warrior for truth, justice in the American way. And I'm not saying that sarcastically, especially here in the Bay Area. You know, you still live in the Bay Area. There was just a couple of propositions that passed, and the left is screaming that we're no longer a progressive city, because even Mayor Breed, who's fighting for her political life, was in support of cracking down on the homeless drug addicts who have destroyed San Francisco, which we all love. After we moved here for San Francisco, I did in 1974. And now perhaps we can see the city turning, just as you're saying, by pressing and pressing and pushing and pushing. Common sense has somewhat prevailed in San Francisco. They're now going to make people who are on welfare take drug tests and answer to the organization giving them money. Can you imagine? And the police are allowed to have cameras. There's going to be cameras on the streets. Oh, my goodness. How can we have that?
The forest will tell you what is true. What we're seeing is the left is getting their total opportunity to put their vision forward. And we're going to see how the public responds. You know, one of the perfect examples that I just have to say from popular culture, because I'm a culture guy. And so recently, you know, a couple movies came out, and one of them that just really kind of got me was like the choice between Madam Web, which was the new Spider-Man movie, and this other movie, One Love, about Bob Marley. And I always go to Rotten Tomatoes, and I looked at Rotten Tomatoes, and the critics were like at 40%. I was like, sounds like it sucks. And then I went to the audience, and it was 95%. I'm like, wait a minute, what the hell is going on? Why is the audience loving this? You know, and the critics are hating it because, you know, it's a black guy from Jamaica. This should be catnip to the left. And I went and saw it, and I just friggin' loved it, because what Bob Marley was doing in Jamaica was he had his house very close to the center of power, and he had everybody over. And he was saying, you know, we all got to work together and everything. And of course, they tried to kill him. And, you know, he then comes back, and I'm just like, wait a minute. Here's why the public loves it. Here's why it's made over $100 million with, you know, zero support from the critics, is because people understand its character and its ideals. And you know, what Bob Marley says at the end of the film is when they're saying, when he goes back to Jamaica after, you know, the assassination attempt, and they're saying, aren't you really concerned about being here? And he says, you know, it's not about me. It's about us. It's one heart, one love, one destiny.
I remember his great song, The Harder They Fall.
Yeah. And so I say to myself, people love heroes.
Kent Heckenlively, his book is The Diversity Con, The Secrets and Lies Behind the Shady DEI Industry. And basically what you're saying is the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And you think eventually big DEI is about to fall. Kent, thanks for being with us today on the Michael Savage podcast, and keep up the great fight. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much, Michael.
Bye now.
Savage.
Well, thank you very much for listening to today's podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it and learned something from it. We have about 400 other episodes available for you to listen to absolutely free. You can go back into our vast library of podcasts and listen to any one of them at any time. And remember this, if you want to listen to my podcast ad-free, sign up for the Savage Premium Membership and get access to ad-free podcasts as well as some premium content from our Savage Archives. How do you sign up for those ad-free podcasts? Please visit michaelsavage.com for a link. Again, thank you for your listenership. This is Michael Savage.